Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twitch. This Week in Computer Hardware with Ryan Schrapp. Episode 62 for March 13th, 2010. The Picometer. This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, go to audiblepodcasts.com/Twitch. It's time for Twitch This Week in Computer Hardware, and our Twitcher is here in studio with us, which is awfully nice, Mr. Ryan Schrout from PC Perspective, PCPer.com. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, how are you doing?
What brings you out to our neck of the woods?
This week is the Game Developers Conference.
GDC.
San Francisco. GDC is going on. I actually don't really have any meetings there, but all the companies that we're used to dealing with are here again at that time. So we had some meetings with AMD. Yesterday, we'll meet with people like Lucid again. We'll meet with Caustic, maybe NVIDIA, those guys. And then we get, if hopefully we'll get a chance tomorrow to go see some of the new game engines at work, some of the things that will excite PC users again.
I really wanted to get to GDC, and then South by Southwest is kind of at the same time, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wanted to go South by Southwest, and it was like,
this is for you.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think we both went to
and
the
South by
ones.
Is for me, kind of more. So, but there's stuff at GDC. So, you know, even though GDC, it says, you know, it's Game Developers Conference, it's more than just that. It's hardware, too. And
well, I mean, they don't really demonstrate new hardware there. No one's using it as a launch platform. But a lot of work that these guys do, in AMD, Intel, NVIDIA, you know, AMD, both the graphics and the processor side, a lot of the work that they do is dealing with these developers.
Yeah, and gaming is what's driving hardware.
Yeah,
so.
And making sure that developers have the product they need, that the developers that are interested in including newer features and advanced features have the assistance they need. AMD's doing several discussions at GDC because it's meant for game developers. It's not really meant for media or press or anything like that. So there are a lot of sessions where AMD will discuss how to take advantage of DirectX 11 hardware, how you can implement performance improvements and feature improvements.
Oh, interesting.
Using that. Huh. So it's interesting for me as an interested party to be able to go in and sit in and listen to, because you can get a lot of insight for what developers are thinking and what maybe the next generation of hardware will improve on or include.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Have you seen anything? Did you see?
I haven't made it to the show floor yet.
Oh, you haven't seen the On Live guys? They haven't run into them yet?
No, I did. I did try to set up a meeting.
Arch enemies.
I did try to set up a meeting with them, and they told me that their schedules were full.
Oh,
and I was late coming in.
I didn't talk to you.
Didn't get around arrangements until Sunday.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, they made some good announcements. We'll talk about too. So, you know, they kind of formalized their plans and everything going forward. So.
You don't think it was a snub?
Probably a little bit, yeah. I mean, they didn't exactly send an email out and say, hey, are you going to be at GDC next month or anything like that? So
you know, I think that's a sign of journalistic honor, of pride.
Right.
When people like that...
you have the stamp of...
Yeah. That means you're not in anybody's back pocket, my friend. You are your own man. Hey, did you see my new computer?
I did.
This is I've been waiting for an Ion-based netbook.
Mm-hmm.
A little pricey, $500. This is the Asus 1201N EPC.
It's a nice little machine. We actually, our notebook editor, John, posted a review of that.
Really?
Just today.
Oh.
So you can go read all about your new toy.
Does he like it?
He does.
Negatives?
There are some in that. I think what has always been the case with Ion is it's a little bit overpowered.
It's too much for an Atom.
For the Atom processor.
Yeah.
And that
kind of
uses
a waste,
the dual
huh?
core processor.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the latest Atom, right?
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit more powerful. A little bit lower battery life maybe than some of the single core ones.
Ooh.
But not too bad. It's still pretty
good. They claim 5 hours.
Yeah. I think in our testing we saw something around just over four hours.
That's good.
So that's pretty good.
You know, I'm flying to Austin. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, that's a perfect flight.
Just about right length.
About 3-hour flight for you from here. So.
Yeah.
That should work out
I'm
well.
Right now, I'm installing all this stuff. You know, that's when you get a new computer, it's kind of a...
It is a pain. Building a new computer, buying a new computer.
First thing, take stuff off.
Yeah.
Windows, Microsoft Office trial.
Yeah.
With four language packs, which you have to go through one by one.
On there too.
Trend PC Cylon.
Yeah.
Took those off immediately.
HP is a little bit worse at it than Asus was. I got the HP Mini 311.
Is there a lot of stuff on
it? It had a lot of... And it's security software that you tried to remove. Like, it would pop up every time you boot it up, right? They'd say, you want to register this for full support? And the button to close it, like, it didn't have an X in the corner. The little link to close it was a plain text link.
That's kind of very frustrating. Hidden. And you can't get rid of it?
Well, I just am too late. I could.
You know what else is on here that really bugs me is Microsoft late. Works.
Really?
Why in heaven's name? Yeah, why would you put this on there?
Is it the full version, though?
I don't know. I tried to uninstall it. Like, yeah, word processor... Spreadsheet, portfolio, database, calendar. Is there any reason to keep that?
If you don't want to use Word, you're going to uninstall the Word trial,
use Google Docs.
The Office trial. If you install Gears, get it locally, that kind of thing, because you won't be able to use it on your flight.
But, good point.
You know, I think for the type of target user for that.
Yeah, I don't want a heavy-duty word processor on here.
You know, college students, high school students.
You think Works is okay?
Yeah. I mean,
maybe I won't take it off. I'll leave it on.
I don't use it on a daily basis, but...
I haven't used it in so long.
I can see why people might want it.
All right, let me launch it. I haven't used it. Help us make Works better. Yes, I wish to participate in this program.
I think they need a lot more people to participate in this.
Copyright 1987. Yeah, baby. Well, actually, this goes 2007. So this is kind of Office. It's kind of a stripped-down Office, right?
I'm sure. I'd imagine it has a lot of the same stuff in there.
So let's talk a little bit about, speaking of Asus, they have two new workstation motherboards.
Yeah, this is real reviewed. Quick. This for the target audience that this is looking at, these are the P6, T7, and P7, P55 WS. WS stands for workstation. And these products are beyond most use cases, even for the enthusiast gamer. The P6 T7, for example, that 7 is indicative of there being 7 full-length PCI Express by 16 slots on the motherboard. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the P7 P55 has 5 of them. So there's a lot of connectivity options here. The P6 T7 is for your Bloomfield, your Core i7, your top-end parts. You know, really, these motherboards are meant for low-end servers, high-end workstation-type things. I think that board's $400. Maybe a little bit higher.
That's almost as much as my netbook.
Yes. Yeah, and you don't get a processor. You don't get memory. You don't get that. We're talking about just the motherboard. But they're high quality. You know, they're not built specifically for overclocking. They don't have a lot of lights and glowing things and heat pipes or fancy things like that. They're meant to be stable. They are meant to be reliable. And they do a pretty good job there. So if you are interested in something like that, if you think, wow, I really need 4 graphics cards and 3 high-speed storage controllers, you're probably a workstation user, and you might be interested in something like this.
You know if you need this.
And we'll talk. I can't really talk about a whole lot of it because the announcement's not until, like, I don't know, 9 p.m. local time or something like that here. Golf Town is coming out.
Ah.
And so that's a 1366, LGA 1366 processor. So you'd be able to combine that with this motherboard that has 7 PCI Express slots. And I bet you'd have
a beast.
Fairly
fast. What would you use 7? System. Give me an example of 7 different things you might want to put in your PCI slot.
It's tough.
I guess if you're using a Crossfire.
If you're using multi GPU configurations, you could take up 2 or 3.
Yeah, more than 2 sometimes.
Maybe 2. If we're talking workstations, more likely Quadro users than GeForce users necessarily. Right. So multiple graphics cards for multiple displays. You might want to have both. With Windows 7, you have the ability to run both an NVIDIA and an ATI card in the same system. Maybe that will help you do debugging and that kind of stuff. But then you get into storage controllers are really the only other thing that really can push PCI Express bandwidth where you might actually need it. But no, I mean, there's most people listening to this, probably all people listening to this, don't need something like that.
Well, we're not talking need.
Yeah, I bet even Colleen would have trouble finding stuff to put in all 7 of these PCI Express slots. I'm sure she'll come down later and tell me that I was wrong and she's got plenty
of
stuff.
Oh, no, I haven't. I've obviously got it right on. So the full review of the P6 T7 and P7 P55 WS workstation motherboards online at PCPer.com.
Yep.
This next item, kind of a shocker. Newegg sold
Have you talked about this yet? Have you heard information about this yet?
I have read the story, and I haven't talked about it, and I think it's kind of a shocker. These weren't even, they were fake i7s.
Yeah.
But they weren't even processors. They were just pieces of plastic,
There's a link to a YouTube video in there of a guy opening up the box that he gets. So what happened was some customers of Newegg found that the Core i7 920 processors that they had ordered were fake. Fairly well-made fakes, at least from the outside.
Oh, so they are processors.
They're not processors.
They're not.
Like, as soon as you open the box, you realize you got screwed on that. I mean,
but the box looks real. Everything.
There's only a couple things. He tries to zoom in there and see that there's like a couple of grammatical mistakes in the box. Yeah. But you're going through that. You see the sticker through the window there. It kind of like it looks like a traditional Intel fan sticker. It looks very realistic from the outside. The front of it looks.
It's a well-made counterfeit.
Exactly. Yeah, but then you look and see.
Boy, that's a lot of work. They put it in a blister
pack.
That's
a piece of cardboard.
Where the fan would be.
Where the fan would be. There's a piece of cardboard shaped like a fan. And then this is the best part. Let's see. There's the instruction manual. It's blank.
It's blank.
Stapled block of paper. And then when you look at the processor, the face of it looks like a processor. Watch when he flips it over.
No pins.
That's
kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
It's a piece of plastic. That's a pretty good fake.
It is.
I mean, I can see how it fooled Newegg. I don't blame Newegg on that.
I don't think we can do that. So what happened was the kind of history of events, a lot of people in the forums some people in the forums said, hey, I got this processor and it's fake. And we went back to it and everybody had purchased it from Newegg. And actually, Kyle over at HardOCP did a lot of the investigating on this. And what turned out to happen was one distributor that Newegg works with was responsible for the shipment of CPUs that came into them that had these fakes in. Now, we don't know at what point the fakes were introduced into the line, whether or not it was before the distributor, with the distributor, and shipping to Newegg, anytime somebody inside Newegg. We don't really think that would be the case, but the Intel got involved because Newegg initially said, well, these are demo boxes. It was our mistake.
It kind of looks like demo boxes. Yeah.
But the misspellings and the grammatical changes, not so much. And Intel came out and said, we never made demo boxes.
Oh.
For these, please don't try to
don't blame us.
So there was a lot of hubbub going on about that, but Newegg has done, from reports, very well replacing the processors very quickly, and they've even gone to reaching out people that have ordered parts that may have been affected by that. I would hope if you bought one, you would know, unless you bought it like to hold on to for later, put it on a shelf or give as a gift to a friend. You know, that could be nice. You order a CPU and mail it to your buddy for his birthday, and he opens it up, and it's like, wow, thanks.
Happy birthday, dude.
Thanks, buddy.
Here's a piece of plastic with no pins. That's the giveaway.
I surely hope nobody actually tried to install it.
Did you see Bunny Wong's blog? He wrote about buying bad flash RAMs. And the story he told was fascinating. I should send you a link to this.
This is the Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I did hear about this.
So Bunny is a really smart guy. We interviewed him when he was the first to hack the Xbox when he was at MIT.
Mm-hmm.
Bunny Studio, B-U-N-N-I-E studios.com is the blog site. And so he, I guess he's got a new business. He works for he does the Chumby. And they bought a bunch of memory for the Chumby, Kingston micro SD cards. And they were all bad. Hmm. Now, most people would have just sent them back, gotten a refund. But wait a minute. He said the Kingston won't take them back. So he started doing some investigations. And what's interesting is that apparently in some of these factories, they have phony shifts. So, they bin sort these chips. They test them. They're bad. They throw them in a bin. This is the bad bin. Some guy comes in late at night, uses the same fab line because it's got the right, stamps and everything, and takes the bad memory and fabricates, 1,000 chips, which they then take. They don't sell them through Kingston.
Right.
They don't sell them through the factory. They just take them and they sell them somewhere, some counterfeit eBay or whatever. And this is apparently not an uncommon practice, and he just happened to get a big bunch of these.
It's completely believable, having gone through these fab facilities in China and Taiwan and other places, how this would happen.
Right.
So obviously, hopefully the response to this is more security with those bad items Right, as opposed to have to tossing them to the side.
That might be the case with this new egg. Maybe these i7s were, you know, something like that.
Well, there's some
scammers out there. They didn't do a very good job in this case.
No.
They didn't try too hard.
It's better than I would be able to do, creating something to try to pass off. I mean, you know, you got to print out the box. You got to make the plastics. And so the reports are that there were 300 out of 2,000 processors that Newegg bought from this distributor.
That many?
Wow. But you got to think, I'm guessing that there is a lot more than 300 of them out there, because would you really go through all that trouble of making the box and the plastic and all the parts and only do 300?
You're going to do a run
parts,
or two.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess if the story will be is if you see a bunch of Core i7-920 processors for sale on eBay, like in the next week, two weeks.
Right. Might you want to think twice there.
Yeah. Either think twice or those are the stolen ones.
Right.
You know, and maybe you can get a good deal.
Was Newegg at least charging a good price on these bogus cards? I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, I mean, they're good prices.
Good deal.
They got them replaced.
Good deal. Yeah, they stood by it.
It helps.
Good for them.
It helps.
Yeah. Moving right along to our next item. Let's do a commercial. You put a little place in there for the commercial. Let's do it.
I try.
You're a nice guy. It's a good time to mention our friends at Audible.com. Audible's a great place to get audio books. Of course, you all know about Audible. I don't have to tell you about Audible. AUDIBLE.com. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/twitch so that Ryan gets credit for it, you get a chance to get a free book. How about that? Now, there are 70,000 books to choose from, including The Yugo, The Rise and Fall of the Worst Car Ever Designed. I know, that sounds good, doesn't it? A History of Ghosts, The True Story of Seances, Mediums, Ghosts, and Ghouls. The House of Tomorrow, House Rope, some great stuff in here. I'm going to recommend a book. We interviewed the guys yesterday. I've been reading it. I'm loving it. It's called Rework. Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen. They started 37 Signals. Hansen wrote Ruby on Rails, and they have made a great book, a kind of an anti-business book. The stuff that you should know as a business person, since you and I are both small businessmen, and I mean tiny, this might be a great book. I'll get you my copy. It's really good. And do listen to Net at Night from this week if you want to know more about it. But this could be yours free. Well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, there's so many choices. In fact, right now the big tournament of audiobooks is going on now. It's a bracket-style tournament. You vote for... They make it fun to read, I got to say. This is the full bracket here. You vote for... You know, books go head-to-head, right? So you vote for The Help versus Craig Ferguson's American on Purpose. Those are two really good books. Or Juliet Naked versus Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. One serious, one not so serious. A Prayer for Owen Meany versus The Lost City of Z. See, and then the winners get to move on. It is really cool. I highly recommend Audible.com. And they do things like this that just make it more fun to read. And you'll see stuff and you go, oh, I haven't read that. Oh, I got to read that. I'll tell you one for the ladies that I'm really enjoying. The Time Traveler's Wife. Did you see that movie? What a romantic book this is. I'm really digging it. And of course, what are you looking at? And of course, look at
it. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you're looking at. How about this one? Pete Nelson's I Thought You Were Dead. This sounds good. For Paul Gustafson, a hack writer for the wildly popular For Morons series. Get it? Life is a succession of obstacles. His wife has left him. His father has suffered a debilitating stroke. His girlfriend is dating another man. That's not so good.
No.
And his overachieving brother has invested his parents' money in stocks that tanked.
Not a very good overachiever.
Sounds funny. I'll tell you what. Go to audible.com. Browse around. Once you find a book that you like, you can get it free by going to audiblepodcast.com/twitch. Listen in the car. Listen on the plane. If you travel a lot, it's a lifesaver. AUDIBLE podcast.com/twitch. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Computer Hardware. It's nice that they support this show.
It is, very much so.
I really appreciate that. That's a nice thing that they're doing there. Did you see our Lisa Tickled Pink?
Yes, I saw that. I listened on Sunday.
Yeah.
And now I saw a link in the chat and I had to click on it.
17,000. We're beating Conan.
it it boggles my mind because I've been on this show and on your shows for years.
Anywhere near the
close that.
I know. I think a number of people said, why didn't you promote us like you're promoting this stranger? This is a stranger, Leah. What's up?
Is the secret the fun of it, or is the secret giving away the iPad?
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt.
No.
In fact, you could probably say on this show, I will give an iPad to a random follower. It might help your follow. But see, I never wanted to do that with my own stuff, right?
Right. I agree.
I never did that.
Like the 2,000 people that follow me to actually be interested in what I have to say.
But I don't mind messing with Lisa's followers.
She seems to be taking
thrilled.
It well. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be? She's got 17,000 followers. So On Live may not have invited you to their event, but you, as the good journalist that you are going to cover their... They finally announced availability.
Exactly.
And pricing.
Availability and pricing. So it's going to be publicly available on June 17th.
Well, that's soon.
It's coming up pretty soon.
That's exciting.
So on PC and Mac, the PC and Mac client will be available on June 17th. Now, the... what do we call it again? The micro console... Like the little external box that you hook up to a TV that has its own kind of controller.
Do you have to have that?
No.
No, you can run the PC or Mac.
So. Right. So you run PC and Mac is going to be available first. They're saying the micro console will be available later in the year.
I see.
I think that is really where they'll see the most
people who don't have computers, so they or even consoles, so they want to play games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or people who have like a PS2, PlayStation 2, but don't want to spend the money
to upgrade
to the 360 or the PS3 or something like that. So June 17th, the pricing is a little bit concerning to me.
Uh-oh, how much?
$14.95 a month.
Well, that sounds like
for
a good
the service.
Deal.
But that does not include games.
Oh, that's the service without any games?
Correct. So $14.95 a month.
I should throw in a couple of crap
is
games.
Is for, you get the video, the friending service, the video services, like where you can save stuff. You get access to the demos and that kind of thing. So you'll be able to like, test play some games before you buy them, so that's
okay.
good.
That's
but they have not.
It's like if Steam charged you to use Steam. That would be annoying.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
The thing is, they haven't announced pricing on the games yet. They're saying that there will be purchases and rental options, so that's good. You could rent a game for, you know, a week or 2 weeks or something like that, and then it would be disabled on your account and that kind of thing. So I think there's feasibility there. Purchases, I'm not a very at least with Steam, you actually download something to your system
mm-hmm.
when you're buying something. If you buy something on Live, all you're really guaranteeing is that you get semi-permanent access to it. You just really don't have access. You don't get any content. I mean, you know, the whole idea, a lot of people complained when we moved to something like Steam because you don't even get a box. You don't even get a disc, right? What are you spending money on? Well, now you're even spending money on less if you're purchasing
so
a system.
That doesn't include the little handheld thing or anything.
No, the $14.95 a month.
Nothing. You get nothing.
You get their community services and access to the system where you'll be able to buy and rent games. But actually, that analogy
that
you said
is
a really good
free.
Idea because Steam is free.
Yeah.
And you can download demos on Steam for free. And
that's just, they're confused. They're confused. That's not a good business model they got there.
Right. A lot of people are saying they need to go after like the App Store model.
They don't charge you for the right to buy. Well, I guess they do in a way because you have to have an iPhone or an iPod Touch. So maybe it's more like that. They feel like I think that. And how much are the games going to be? Do we know?
We don't know. That's
maybe if they were like $3.
I don't think that's going to happen, but it's a good thought. Rentals will probably be the most feasible option here, especially if like maybe you can rent a game for a few days and it will keep your save game even if your rental runs out type of thing. But I'd imagine, based on what we have seen with Steam and downloadable content, downloadable system, or downloadable games, prices didn't really drop.
No.
Steam, they did. For new releases and stuff.
Right. But I mean, Steam, you get amazing deals. I mean, one of the things that makes power Steam is like $9 weekends and things like that.
Right.
That's huge.
Yes. Agreed. But will they be doing that on Live? I'm not sure. So,
nobody's going to sign up for this. Nobody's going to sign up for this unless they have something. I mean, I'm not going to just pay $14.95.
Right. I mean, you could pay $14.95 a month and if you don't want to buy one of the games that they have.
Right.
You're still paying $14.95 a month.
I guess the theory would be, well, no, because you're providing your own computer.
Yeah. They're going to have 12 to 25 games available at launch, they said. So,
you know, Steam is going to be available for the Mac now. So yep. I think that that's their competition.
Agreed.
And so it's got to be the only people who would be interested in this are people buying the little handheld doohickey. They're not committed enough to games to pay $15 a month. I think this is a big mistake.
But, you know, keep in mind, with this, you'll be able to, theoretically, you'll be able to game on your ASUS 1201N.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because it's all streaming video.
Okay, so when they say PC, they don't mean
PC or Mac. So remember that PC. OnLive doesn't require you to have local hardware.
It's just video.
It's just streaming video.
Right.
As long as your system can handle that decode process and has a broadband internet connection, it's supposed to work.
Okay.
Supposed to.
Oh, okay.
We'll see on June 17th. And they mentioned games are going to have Mass Effect 2, Assassin's Creed 2, Borderlands, Dragon Age. So they're working with the right people in terms of content. But am I willing to pay $60 or $50 for Mass Effect 2 on live versus the same price for Steam versus the same price for going into the store and picking it up?
Do you think we're paying for... I mean, it's kind of like paying for Xbox Live. Somebody's pointing this out in chat room. You have the Xbox, you pay for it. You have the game, you pay for it.
That's
you pay
exactly
to be online.
Like yes.
But it's not $15 a month to play.
It's five or
something.
Yeah. I think it's like $60 a year, $50 a year. That's also a good analogy because and most people, when you ask them, will say that Xbox should not be Microsoft should not be charging for Xbox Live anymore. It made sense at the beginning, try to build the infrastructure, try to prove to people that there were going to be people online.
Blizzard doesn't charge for Battle.net.
Right.
Steam doesn't charge.
Right.
They make it up in the games.
PlayStation, PSN doesn't charge. You're not charged to be a member of PSN, to be on PSN. You create an account and you're free, and then you can go download all the games. And I think most people in the gaming media agree with that. That Xbox Live should not be charging anymore.
Right, but $7 a month,
and it can't be a huge part of their revenue. And if it is, sorry, I don't know. It's like you know,
then you have the bad revenue model. The cable company probably gets a bunch of this $14.95. How are they?
The cable companies aren't involved yet.
You're not doing it through the cable company or your internet service provider.
Not yet.
You're buying this directly from OnLive.
This is strictly through OnLive.
Huh. That surprises me. That's not what I thought.
I think their eventual goal is to involve cable companies, involve service providers, sell it to Comcast as a service they can offer to their customers through their set-top box, right? So imagine getting a Comcast set-top box that's a DVR/game console/ whatever that comes with a little controller that you hook up to it. That's kind of the main idea.
So what is the term of the contract? Can I go month to month?
Yes. $12.95 or $14.95 is the month to month. And then I think they said there'll probably be a yearly discount or something like that as well. And they're apparently going to.
How much is GameFly? That's about what GameFly costs.
Yeah, GameFly's probably $15 a month.
That's about what GameFly costs.
$9 a month.
Yeah.
So if you're in a Netflix pricing range.
And that includes a game.
Yeah, yeah. You get as many games as you can play through in a month, right? So there are definitely some.
I think this is gonna be a stumble. We'll see. They can always change the pricing model. They don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. They can do that. If you want to, we can talk directly, skip ahead a little bit, jump to their competition.
Steam. I'm so excited it's coming to the Mac.
Yep, so Valve has announced
this is huge.
Steam service is coming to the Mac.
Huge.
And not only that, because we had heard rumors about this last week, and Colleen and I were talking about it. What does that actually mean? Does that just mean they're bringing the Steam client to the Mac, where they're actually going to convert games over
convert
to the Mac?
Games.
So what they've done is they've obviously made the Steam client for the Mac, but they've also converted their Steam engine, the game engine, to OpenGL and Max.
So awesome.
So what this means is now, for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, I can't really... There was a time when Mac and PC gaming were kind of running in parallel.
Halo was based on a Mac game called Marathon that was Mac only.
Right, the Mythic was the developer.
So there were, you know, Mac wasn't always, you know, left behind, but in modern times, of course, not even close, and... That's what everybody always says to me is, should I get a Mac? And I say, well, if you're a gamer, no. That's the one thing that PCs really have going
for. So in April now, Steam and Valve's library of games will be available on the Mac.
Is that what?
Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2, Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike, Portal, Half-Life series.
What? So do the Steam engine, does everything... I mean...
Not all the games. So that's the important part here is... The Valve-branded games, the Valve-developed games that use that engine include Half-Life, Portal, Counter-Strike.
That's really the Half-Life engine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those games will run on the Mac.
Anything
because
on the
that
Half-Life
engine has been converted
right.
as well. Not just a Steam
and
client.
They say going forward, we're going to ship for both Mac, Windows, and Xbox at the same time.
Simultaneously.
Yay!
And it gets even better because of they've been talking about Steam Cloud Service, which is they already implement it where it saves your keyboard configuration, your mic configuration, any of your any of the changes
across.
You make to the options.
Oh, that's
so
great.
If you log in another computer, you don't have to reset all your options. That's great.
Steam, these guys are brilliant. See, this is where OnLive just didn't.
And
get
it gets better.
There's more?
Because now your save games are going to be stored on the cloud. So you could, in theory, sit here while people are talking to you and play your Half-Life 2, Half-Life 3 when it comes out on your MacBook, go home, turn on your PC, and resume the game from that same spot.
So are Mac video cards powerful enough to play these games? They're a little behind, aren't they?
I mean, it's a good question because the one thing, this brings gaming to Mac. What it doesn't do is change the hardware ecosystem
right.
that Apple has
right.
fostered.
Which has not been a big gaming system.
Right. I mean, you can't, like your iMac here, you can't upgrade that
right.
if you want to.
Right.
You can upgrade a Mac Pro if you get a graphics card that has drivers compatible with Mac OS. And not all cards are built to work with Mac OS. So are they powerful enough? Yes. If you have a modern MacBook Pro that has discrete graphics or an iMac that has discrete graphics, you'll be able to play these games. I mean, you're not going to play them as well as you could on a Radeon 5770 or an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 260 or 285 or something like that
mm-hmm.
because the graphics performance on those systems is significantly lower. And what's interesting is that it never really mattered before. Right?
Right. Nobody, now we
nobody,
care.
Nobody cared that
right.
the Mac had slower graphics.
Now
really.
I'm thinking, I want to upgrade my
and
cards.
Now everybody's going to go, do I really want to get that iMac that's completely sealed and closed
right.
now if I'm going to do gaming on it because I won't be able to upgrade?
How demanding is Left 4 Dead 2? Is it really demanding?
It's not too demanding.
So none of these Half-Life engine games are that hard, that tough.
Not yet. But, I mean, they're going to make new engines. They're going to make right. new games probably before the end of the year. Left 4 Dead 2 is, I mean, you're talking about a 9600,
right.
a GeForce 9600 in these systems. Right. It'll run, but, I mean...
You're not going to get 1600 by 1200.
Right.
And will this, I wonder if this will hold Steam back a little bit in their development. I guess not.
I don't think so.
They're not going to hobble stuff.
There was a quote they had in here where the engine has been converted. Their internal development house has been completely converted. When they commit a change to the software engine, it is automatically creates both an Xbox, a Windows, and a Mac. Executable, and they go and test it immediately.
Wow, that's
so they've done
neat.
A very good job. Now the interesting thing will be if other developers follow suit, right? So all the other games, not all games on Steam, are made by
right.
Valve.
Right.
In fact, the vast majority are not.
Right.
You can buy Mass Effect 2; that's by BioWare. You can buy Assassin's Creed 2; it's by Ubisoft. Will those developers also convert their games to be compatible on the Mac? And I think it's one of those endeavors that's very, very complex.
Right.
Valve has spent a lot of time and invested a lot of money in this one specific game engine.
You think this has been going on for a while that they've been...
Oh, yeah. Because they've converted the game from DirectX only to being OpenGL compatible.
That's a huge thing right
and
there.
And that's not an easy thing to
right.
do. It's not something they did in a couple of
and
weeks.
And that'll be true on PC, too, that it won't use DirectX?
I think they will have both code paths in there.
Okay.
They'll be able to take advantage of it one way or the other. Because in honesty, OpenGL has really fallen back in the world of PCs. Most people are really focused on DirectX.
Right.
Because
no.
OpenGL has kind of stagnated.
That happened a long time ago.
Yeah, it definitely has. So it's an interesting move forward. I think it's pretty cool. It gives users of Mac hope.
It does. It gives me hope.
It gives Mac hope. Fans hope that,
I've got hope.
That you won't get, I mean, there are some games. I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I got several emails from people say, hey, here's the store for Mac, and you can get Call of Duty 4 for the Mac. We can't get Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare 2.
No.
I mean, how long are you waiting for that?
And this doesn't guarantee that either.
No, it doesn't.
To be fair.
But it's moving in that direction, so...
Yeah, no, I think it's huge news. And Mac people should be very happy. Hey, it's the best you're going to get. Let's put it this way. I mean, Steam really is the dominant gaming platform now.
Every game I buy on the PC is on Steam.
Me
if,
too.
If it is an option, it's bought on Steam. I mean, actually, one of the hardware companies gave us a copy of a game. They email out keys because they want us to use these specific games to test their hardware or whatever. We play through all these games. And they sent us one for an EA download, which EA has their own download service where you can download a game and install and all that kind of stuff.
Sorry.
And you know what? I said, I'm
going
to pass on the free one. I'm going to spend our money and buy the one on Steam because it's that much easier, and I like having the coherency with everything. Mm-hmm. And keeping
well, and it's
easy.
For people like you and me a little bit who have a lot of new machines. That's a lot. Some of it is merely that.
We change machines a lot. Yeah. But I mean, it's just convenient.
Right.
It's nice to have.
Sure is. What's Warpia?
Warpia, this was an interesting little device that came through our inbox recently. And this is a small company that I'd never really heard of before that they're debuting a wireless laptop docking station. Essentially what it is it's a device that uses software and two USB connections. One attaches to a laptop, the other attaches to an external box that has a DVI connection, two USB connections, and an audio connection. So essentially, if you want to have a desktop configuration with external monitor, keyboard, mouse, speakers, higher quality speakers than what you get in your laptop, you attach this USB device to your laptop. And it transmits the video, the audio, the input, all that kind of stuff through wireless connectivity. So it's wireless. It's not wireless USB. How do I say this? It's using a USB device to create a wireless network between two things. So then you could have this. I could have this laptop here on my desk and have the computer.
But it's not Wi-Fi.
It's not Wi-Fi. It uses some kind of custom connectivity option. For that, the only problem is it's like $150, which is really steep.
Hmm.
It only supports up to 1440x900 resolution because of the bandwidth involved. 32-bit color, 48 kilohertz, 16-bit audio, Windows and Mac ready. It's 128-bit encrypted. It's kind of an interesting little idea. Remember we talked about Intel WiDi?
Right.
Wireless display,
and they hate it if you call it WiDi.
This is a similar thing. But it's like having a KVM or a dock station. Like, you know, if you have a laptop and you come home and you set it down on your desk and you plug in the keyboard and you plug in the monitor cable and you plug in the speakers and now you've got a desktop computer. This is that, only you don't have to connect any cables.
I have a UWB device that does this, ultra wideband.
Really?
Device.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Dell Latitude Z.
Oh, that's right.
Comes with a UWB. I think it's using UWB. Which is a standard. I don't know what this is using. It doesn't look like UWB.
No, I don't.
But that's fast enough to do display, USB, sound. Everything's wireless. In fact, it's kind of cool because you put the Dell down on the stand. It's using inductance charging. There's no wires except the stand's plugged in. And then it docks, and I've got the speakers and the computer monitor and the keyboard and mouse, and I'm just using it.
That's pretty cool.
So it's very cool. So it's something like this.
Yeah. But something interesting came by. I wouldn't tell anybody to pay $150 for it yet, but it's nice to see.
I'm sure I paid a lot more.
You probably paid a lot more than that for that
Dell fans. It's an executive PC, and I'm an executive, so I deserve it.
What's that translate into, executive PC?
I think $3,000 or $4,000.
Oh, okay, all right.
When you get all the crap, and you know, it wasn't even that fast because it's the ULC processor. You know, so it's like 1.6 gigahertz ULC Intel. So it's like. It's probably
gimmicky.
Just as fast.
It's nice to look at.
$500.
Oh,
it is pretty.
Can't make an omelet without breaking eggs.
No,
right?
And it is pretty. Everybody likes it. So that's the Warpia.
Yep.
Now, this next story is kind of interesting. You have a 6-panel Eyefinity.
Yeah, it's not.
Do you have this?
Yes. So there's a picture of me sitting in front of a 6-panel Eyefinity gaming configuration. 3x2, so 3 across, 2 high, so that's a 3x2 matrix of displays. These are
that's incredible.
22-inch 1080p monitors. So, and I got the tape measure out, and from corner to corner, it's like a 65-inch display, 16x9 display. It's almost a 16x9 form factor there. We've got that set up, and then unfortunately, like the next day, I had to leave. for this.
So you know what's at home waiting for you, but you haven't been able to use it. So did you play it all? Were you able to play it all?
I got to play right in that in the photo in there. I'm actually playing Aliens versus Predator.
That's amazing.
I did play Supreme Commander 2, which is a real-time strategy game. That was really cool. The ability, because you one of the features of the game is you can zoom out really far and zoom in really close to the characters, to the units and stuff. And it's what I found to happen was, so I'm using this. You can see it's like a normal table. It's a normal desk that we had it set up on. And the keyboard and mouse where they're setting right there, I can't use it there because I'm too close.
You're too close.
To the giant display. Like,
it's too big.
I have to physically scoot back.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
And do it.
And so then, you need wireless mouse and keyboard.
So right, wireless mouse and keyboard, but then something to put them on.
Right.
Or
besides your lap.
Right, exactly.
So you need two desks.
Using a controller.
This game needs two desks.
You need a desk and a TV tray. Like it's like a TV dinner night stand there. That's what it means.
I love it.
Or I was using it playing Hawks with the Xbox controller.
So is this the new because the old Eyefinity was three screens,
yeah.
three by one.
So this is powered by the Eyefinity, the Radeon HD 5870 Eyefinity Edition graphics card, which has six mini display port outputs on a single card.
Now we're seeing the value of mini display port for sure.
Yes.
Because you can
get
no
six
real estate.
Across on yeah. one side of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have six mini display port to display port adapters coming out of the back of the car.
That's amazing.
Because actually they do make mini display port to display port cables, but we only had display port to display ports. So we had six different little adapters as well. So you can get it a little bit cleaner than that, but it's still pretty cool. It's, I mean, you can kind of tell in the photo, but it's a rat's nest behind there in terms of the kind of cabling involved and
oh yeah,
getting six monitors powered. And six monitors connected
oh, yeah.
to a single
That's
PC.
That's crazy.
But
That's
it
crazy
works. Time. I mean, it works fairly well. They have some bugs they're working out. It's a little bit glitchy in some cases. That's why it's not officially launched yet.
Do the bezels bother you?
Right now, they do. At first, they did.
You get used. You don't get used to them, right?
Well, I don't know. I need to spend more time with it.
Right.
They have bezel correction. They're going to have bezel correction in this driver, which means...
Oh, so where you see a bezel is a gap, or...
Right now... In that photo, I didn't have bezel correction enabled, and you can kind of tell if you look at the
gun
flash
doesn't line up.
From the muzzle and yeah. where the gun they don't line up with bezel correction. They would. The problem with bezel correction is that stuff that's behind it is gone. You don't get to see it.
Right.
One instance where that would be a
so
problem.
So it's like you're looking through a window.
Right. Supreme Commander 2, when you bring up the menu, it centers the menu on your screen.
Right.
The problem is if you're using bezel correction. Some of the options are going to be behind that bezel.
Right.
And you,
so that's not
you
good.
Don't know what they are.
So
one of the things that AMD was adamant about discussing while we were out here was their involvement with developers and how they're teaching them how easy, as they say, it's very, very easy, very, very quick to make a couple of changes to make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Right.
Where things aren't hidden in the bezels, where you center things on a certain screen as opposed to centering them globally on the display, on the Eyefinity display. So, we're looking forward to getting back and playing with that. I think.
Yeah, I bet you are.
On, yeah.
How's the frame rate? How's the frame rate?
Well, it depends on the game. We're talking about a single GPU card. It has 2 gig frame buffer on it. So it has the regular 5870 that supported three displays has 1 gig of frame buffer. This one has two, so that helps it support larger resolutions without slowing down as much. But we're talking about a 5760 by 2160 resolution display.
Hmm.
5760. So it's about 12.4 megapixels. It's a lot of pixels. It's 60 frames a second. We're talking, I don't know.
So pushing
200 million pixels a second. Something like that. No, more than that. But
that's
amazing. I mean, it's a significant amount. So, I mean, yeah. Computing power is going to be, could be a potential problem here for the GPU. AMD loves that, though. Because now you buy a second card
right.
to do Crossfire with
right.
and do that. And this is, I mean, this 3D vision, those types of things, where 3D vision doubles the number of pixels you have to render per second to get that to work. And graphics cards guys love this because they're going to be able
oh,
to sell
it sells products, you bet.
And as enthusiasts, we should like it as well because that is pushing them to develop right. newer, faster
cards.
Hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when the 6000 series comes out in a year or whenever it is, it will be more powerful. It will still support Eyefinity, And these games that ran a little bit slower at 5760 by 2160 will run faster.
Right.
And for now, you can you can choose to lower the image quality or use a lower resolution and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Far Cry 2 at that resolution with 8X anti-aliasing and ultra-high settings, probably not going to be your best experience. So maybe set it to high instead of ultra-high, maybe 2X AA instead of 8. And you're talking about a completely playable experience. So it's, do you value that image quality difference versus having an enormous screen?
It is enormous.
I mean, you said on that desk before that, I had a 30-inch Apple Cinema display.
And that seemed big.
And it's tiny now.
Now it's nothing. You right. spoiled yourself.
Exactly. So now it's like...
So this is kind of like a 60-inch TV, it almost looks like, roughly.
Yeah, it's 65 inches from corner to corner, and it's... it's I mean, yeah. We had to clear out room.
It's wider than a 16:9, it looks like.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Because we're doing... They're 16:9 displays, but we're not installing them in a 16:9 ratio,
right.
So...
Right.
Yeah.
It's 32:18.
Yes.
No.
But yeah. what it's not is so if you cover up the top
48:18.
If you cover up the top three displays, you just look at the bottom three there. That's a 3:1 Eyefinity configuration. So
right.
then you're talking about much, much higher ratio of resolution width to height.
Right.
Whereas here it's more normalized.
Spread it out. Yeah, yeah. So it's more like a big screen TV would look.
Yeah.
Frankly, that would be the better solution.
Yeah. The problem, of course, will be it's not going to be great for first-person shooters to work on 6 displays. If you look there, you can see...
It's for a flight sim or
where
something.
My cursor is in that bezel. Right? I mean, if you've got bezel correction on, the cursor will be right behind that bezel. And if you don't have it, it will be, half on one screen, half on the other.
Yeah, see, that's not good.
No.
You're aiming at a black line.
You're aiming at a... So your focus would be on that Dell logo underneath.
This is really
monitor.
Do stock traders use it, or somebody who's got a more practical application?
Absolutely, they could, because I mean, before, if you wanted 6 displays, you had to have 3 graphics cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like
so
the
now,
Matrox, multi heads.
Yeah,
something. Yeah.
Right now, you can do that on one.
Good.
For I don't know if it's gonna be $499.
That's
something
the 5870.
5870 Eyefinity edition.
And is it a good card
later this month? I think
if you just wanted a regular one display.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I mean, it's the exact same GPU performance as... It'll be actually be a little bit better because it has 2 gig frame buffer instead of 1 gig.
It's huge, yeah.
But you can connect one display to it. You can connect 2 displays to it now and then add as you go type of deal. You could if you have 3 monitors, you could do a 3 monitor Eyefinity.
You know what
setup.
This comes from? Monitors are so cheap that this is kind of... That's what this comes from,
yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, we were debating getting 6 30-inch displays to do this instead of 6 22-inch displays.
I don't think there's enough room.
We've got a lot of 30-inch displays in-house in different areas, like at different offices. We could pull together and do
so
it.
So funny.
But then we'd have to have 6 of the $100 active
right.
adapters.
Right.
Which is a little bit of a pain.
That's
there.
A lot.
Yeah, that'd be $600
those,
in converters
yeah. mm.
from DisplayPort to DVI. So.
Well, let's get to our Twitter questions. Lots
right.
of people have questions for Ryan. Ryan Schrout of PC Perspective. This Week in Computer Hardware is on the air. Let's start with WWNSX.
Yep.
I guess is his handle. Will NVIDIA come out with a new Enforce 10 or X chipset with audio like the old Soundstorm? Seems like they were going to do that a couple of years back.
So Soundstorm is actually a great... It was the audio aspect of one of the first NVIDIA chipsets. It was Enforce 2.
Hmm.
It's their second offering of a chipset ever. It was perhaps the single best audio solution that was available at the time, and it still has a lot of people that are in love with it.
Wow.
Because it did something, it does a feature that very few products even today still do, or even still today don't do, and that is Dolby encoding, not decoding, but encoding, where it would take the audio output from, say, a game like Doom 3 that was not Dolby, and it would convert it to multi-channel Dolby audio format to send out through a digital output that you could send to a receiver as a single cable, as opposed to having to send 6 separate channels out to your receiver.
Oh.
So I actually did that. It was very cool. There are some cards you can get now, but they're pretty high end. This was on an integrated graph. This was integrated audio on this motherboard that did this at the time. Unfortunately for WWNSX, NVIDIA is pretty much out of the chipset business altogether. They got pushed out. They voluntarily left the AMD chipset market after the AMD-ATI merger. They got kicked out of the Intel chipset business as Intel changed their the processor buses and then didn't continue to license them to NVIDIA. And then in the mobile form factor, their last chipset was probably the one in the MacBook Pro, the GeForce 9400M type thing. And now we know of Ion 2, the next generation Ion, is a discrete graphics solution, not really a chipset. So I do not think we'll be getting anything from NVIDIA with the Inforce brand as a chipset anymore, which is unfortunate, but it happens.
That's what happens. I didn't realize they were up to 10.
They have the Inforce 9980 series for AMD parts, I guess.
That used to be a great...
But it was a rebranded 7 series,
right.
And I don't know what happened to 8.
Great
so.
Chipset.
Yeah.
Next question from IT Master. I have an old ATI GPU lying around. Can I add this to my system with a GTX 260 and then add a second monitor? He's actually not another monitor. He already has two. Add a third monitor. Right.
Yes, the answer is yes. If you have a GTX 260, you got two monitors hooked up to it, you absolutely can install an ATI GPU if you have Windows 7 or Windows XP.
So Windows 7?
Not Windows Vista.
Why not Vista?
Well, so Windows XP had a driver model.
Right.
Windows Vista changed the driver model.
Right.
They tried
confused
to fix some
confused everybody,
things.
Yes.
But what happened was they prevented different drivers from different vendors being installed on the same system. So if you had a GeForce 260 and an older NVIDIA GPU lying around, you could install both of those in a Vista system. But you couldn't install an NVIDIA GPU and an ATI GPU. Now in Windows 7, you absolutely can. You can get a GTX 260 and put anything from ATI or Matrox or S3 or Intel or anything like that in there. And it will work just fine. And then you can run another two monitors off it if you want.
Everything's better.
Yep.
With Windows 7. Danielle Brewer says, I'm scared of ATI cards due to their driver issues from years ago. Yeah, we used to call it the driver of the month club, and they were always breaking. He says, NVIDIA seems more stable these days. Should I switch?
I assume this means that they're interested in the Radeon HD 5000 series of graphics right. cards because right.
those are the hot
newest,
ones.
Bestest,
the hot, the
newest,
new hotness.
Bestest out, right?
Yep.
Bestest. Their drivers are much better. ATI's drivers are much better today than they were before.
It's not the problem they used to be.
Exactly. They do a very good job. I'm a fan of their driver of the month club now because they release drivers on a regular basis.
And they are good
improvements. And it's funny because earlier this month, NVIDIA was the one that had the driver problem. They released the driver version 196.75. This was a Wickel certified Windows hardware quality.
WHQL.
Lab. Yeah.
WHQL. I didn't know it was pronounced Wickel.
That's the only reason that's all I'd ever heard it called. So and every time I say it now, I think they probably don't know it.
Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
But this was an official release driver. This wasn't a beta driver that came out from NVIDIA, and there were reports of it killing GPUs. There were reports of that driver turning off fans when it shouldn't have on a graphics card and killing an NVIDIA, killing your card. So they pulled the driver. The truth is it can happen to either side at any time. This has just happened to be the most recent instance.
Right.
It's not like I would say don't trust NVIDIA drivers.
No. So. No. I think that was the old... That was then.
Yes.
We don't have those problems anymore. Finally, Night Owler says the new i7-930 is a disappointment at 45 nanometers. Why didn't Intel use that new 32 nanometer processor for their high-end socket? That's a good question. Why? Why 45?
45 is because... Well, the Core i7-930 is really just a speed bump over the Core i7-920. And 32 nanometer process, the first desktop part released was for the LGA 1156 socket, the kind of mainstream lower end part. Those were the Clark Darrell CPUs that had the integrated graphics on the chip.
I love it when you talk like that.
But Golf Town, when it comes out. Yeah, a little bit.
That was my Alec Baldwin.
Golf Town, when it comes out,
yes.
A 6-core processor, it yes. uses a 32 nanometer process. So. And that is in the same processor socket that he's looking for. It will be a super expensive part, expected to be a $1,000 CPU. We'll see 32 nanometer Westmere architecture CPUs, more of them come into the quad core market like he's looking for here. But I don't understand it being a disappointment. I mean, it's just nothing fantastically new or different. It's a speed bump, and that's right. what it's branded as. You know, the 920 to the 930. So
I guess because you know the 32 nanometer process is cooler, doesn't generate as much heat.
It just takes time. It takes time to move all their product lines. I mean, they moved up.
You have to build new fabs. You can't just say, we're going to make 32 nanometers.
And they move 32 nanometer up in production.
Yeah, that's really the key. Is they've gotten here sooner than we thought.
Right, right. We had Clarkdale parts and Arendelle parts for the desktop and mobile platform. Well ahead of when we were originally told we were going to get
that was a big deal. Going, so I mean, Gulf 45 Town, was a big deal.
Yeah, and Gulf Town will be the first kind of consumer high end 32 nanometer part, and we'll see 32 nanometers from everything eventually.
Is AMD down to 32 as well?
No,
they're 45.
They're still 45.
Yeah, 45s. You know, when you're an old timer like me, 45 is mind boggling.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We were at 130, 190. Right.
I mean, these are tight and. You know what? We're getting close to zero. We're getting close. This is small.
People say that zero.
Go negative.
We won't be getting any smaller. We won't be able to get any smaller yet. They keep figuring things out. It's like the hard drive manufacturers, right?
Right.
We keep thinking, they can't possibly make anything over 2 terabyte hard drive.
Right.
And they're gonna. So,
but they're not gonna go below zero. I don't think you can get less than 0 nanometers.
Well, you can get 0 point something, I guess, and then you go into something lower than nanometer.
I guess. Oh,
you
yeah,
get
you can go.
Molecular computing and
what's and smaller than a nano?
I don't know. Pico?
Picometer. I don't know. Is pico smaller than a nano?
Chat room will know for sure. Like
chat room. What is the hierarchy? It is pico.
There you go. See?
Picometer.
Sometimes I pretend I know what's going on.
So soon, and then there's femto. Soon, we will be talking about picometers.
Right.
Damn. What a world.
Sooner than we think.
You can listen to this show on iTunes. If you want to subscribe to it, just go to iTunes and search for TWICH. We will soon have video. Is it video yet? I don't think so.
Not yet.
Soon. Any day now. We shoot video and you can watch us live.
I can go upstairs and ask. I don't think it's
video
yet. Yeah,
go beat up Tony. he's the whole. I think we're within weeks. We're very close.
Cool.
We edit video. We just... we didn't want to roll out all of the video shows at once.
Right.
So every week we're going to do another show. So you're on the runway. You're on the runway. And we are doing a video.
I'm sitting on the tarmac.
You're on the tarmac. You're number three on the runway. We are doing video. You can watch us do this show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. That's 6 p.m. Eastern time. And the time zones are going to change with the UTC. So you just figure it out.
That's right. We got a time
next
shift
week,
coming.
Next week's going to be different. Yeah. And I can't ever remember how it changes. But nevertheless, do watch us live at live.twit.tv. Or you can find out more about subscribing and all the different platforms at twit.tv/Twitch. Ryan Schroud is at PC Perspective. If you go to pcper.com, you can read up all about everything. And you can email Ryan right here, ryan@twit.tv. It's so nice when you're out here. I just really enjoy it.
It's a great drive. I noticed. I can tell. I think you guys had a lot of rain recently.
Everything is so green, isn't it?
Everything is very green.
Yeah.
I was out in Fremont today. The hills were very green there, and that's usually not the case.
This is one of the prettiest times of year because the rainy season is ending, so it's getting warmer and sunnier, and everything's green.
This is usually when I'm like, I should probably move out here.
This is when you want to move out. But you know, Kentucky's green.
Kentucky has a lot of green.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll see you next week on Twitch.